Sorry, a little bit of a tangent because we're not talking about hips. Well, maybe we are talking about hips. Maybe the hips measurements, hip measurements.
You're
You see where
really
I'm
you're
going?
stretching to
Yeah,
get this
I'm
to fit, but
trying to get
I'll
a
take that
segue.
connection. I'll
Yeah, come
take the
on the segue.
connection.
So,
Sure.
but yeah, we're talking about a little bit focus on some diet and nutrition, specifically the anti-inflammatory diet. What is it, and what do you eat on it, and what don't you eat?
And if you are someone who follows sports athletes, you likely know there are many who are on anti-inflammatory
Are
diets.
you talking about Tom Brady?
I do know that he is one of the very famous that is on an anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah,
Yes,
from
he
what I
is
heard
one that's
about.
frequently like referred to in fitness articles as being extremely an extreme advocate of this.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We hope you are well. We welcome you back if you are a regular listener. And if you are tuning in for the first time, thank you for being here. We hope to bring you some very helpful and insightful information today. Before we jump into things, Nick is going to tell you about our giveaway that we have going on right now, where one lucky listener could win
A copy of Kathleen Trotter's latest book, Your Fittest Future Self. That's right. Kathleen Trotter was recently on the podcast. We had a great conversation, and she was kind enough to sponsor our current giveaway. So if you guys are interested on how to enter that giveaway, go visit the ET Tampa Instagram page, or better yet, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. All the details on how to enter the giveaway are up there on both of those places. So you guys can enter the giveaway. Hurry, don't delay. This giveaway ends June 6th. Okay? So go ahead, enter today. So training recaps. I will jump into mine first. My training recap includes training other people. Since the gyms opened up last week, not last week, but I guess I've been open for 2 weeks now, as you guys hear this, here in Florida, it has been a whirlwind of trying to schedule people to get back into the gym and trying to get people on a regular schedule. Hopefully, I'm accomplishing that, but we have a lot of people who are coming back, slowly kind of creeping back in, so finding space for everyone has been a challenge due to with our current restrictions on social distancing and limited capacity at my facility. But it's been good. We've been able to manage it, and I've had probably one of my oldest clients, one of my clients that was with me from the beginning, or has started with me in the beginning, contacted me this week, and basically said he wants to start back up again, mainly for his son. So he that's coming back around. It's kind of interesting how it's come back to training some of the people that really originally started with me way back in the day when ET Tampa was created. So I'm going to start that again this week, which is I'm looking forward to, I should say. So another week of training, getting the training sessions in person, virtual, and at clients' houses. So hopefully maybe I can make some time for myself and do some workouts. I guess for fitness wise, what I've been doing a lot lately, is waking up early and doing my stretching and mobility and my meditation, trying to get a pretty regular, keep that pretty regular, because I know, my exercise has been lacking. So that's an important part to make sure I keep in check, because I don't want it all to totally fall off the rails. So, but hopefully this week, once we start getting a little bit more into a good routine, I can start adding in my own workouts. What about yourself?
This past week, I kind of decided to finally just embrace my schedule, and instead of trying to get up early, which has not been successful for me recently, I decided that I would just take the quiet times when Ella was sleeping and work out then. And even though some days I did get busy with like work stuff, I do actually have work to find jobs. If anybody else is unemployed, you understand. But yeah, there's a lot of hours that go into that. So I actually got in a few days where I was able to do yoga, HIIT workout, bike session, and it felt really good. I think I actually did some kind of movement like 4 days this past week.
Nice.
Which felt really nice. I could tell a huge difference. I've had pain in my hips. Whenever I don't move enough, I get really bad pain in my hips to where like standing up actually hurts. And I don't know exactly what it is. I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that I birthed a child. Since that was basically the starting point.
Sounds
but
like an excuse to me.
Yeah, it's a real crap excuse, I know. But ever since then, I found that not only is, you know, movement really good for the mental wellness aspect of things, but it's also been really important for my hip mobility and comfort. So I have also been focusing when I do yoga particularly, and when I'm doing the HIIT workouts, I focus on extra longer stretching periods, focusing on the hips. So trying to be a lot more conscious and trying to take care of myself with these trainings. I'm really not in it to, you know, reach my best physical fitness condition. I'm really in it to just take care of myself.
It's so interesting about the hip health, I guess, is a way to kind of describe it, is that it's something that's so important to, I think, everyone.
I thought you were going to say pivotal.
No, how dare you. But yes, but like I think once you hit 35, and maybe even younger, we actually know even younger, you really start to appreciate your hip health.
Yeah.
We were just talking about, we just saw a picture of my cousin who I think is probably at least 10 years younger than me, had a hip replacement recently.
You know, yeah. She did gymnastics not someone who you would just like look at and be like, oh yeah, you must have had a hip replaced by now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She's very big into gymnastics growing up. So, just had her hip replaced. And then, I, you know, recently did a session with a collegiate athlete, and he's getting into golf now. And just, you know, putting him through some movement seeing his inability to kind of work, not just necessarily his hips, but his pelvis, you know, what your hips are attached to, but just his inability to move that. It's just so, I think.
Limited?
I think it, stiff? I think people's knowledge about the importance of your pelvis and your hip health is limited.
Like
people think about, oh, my lower back. Yes, your lower back, that is an issue with most people. One of the most biggest complaints as far as pain, muscle, or, you know, joint related is lower back, but it's so much, there's so much connected in that area.
A lot of lower back pain is because of hips and
exactly
pelvic
right.
issues.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I gotta stretch my lower back, I gotta stretch my hamstrings. Yes, that might be part of it, but there's a lot of stuff going on down there where hip mobility and or pelvic control is, or lack thereof, probably more so, is causing those issues. So just the last interesting, ETT turned 5 years old recently.
Happy birthday.
What I've learned in the last 5 years about the importance of hip health is just really how it's something you got to work on every day, you know, and, you know, the what you've done, I know, in your yoga programs and what I've learned through some stick mobility or FRC and the different stretching regimens I've gone through, it's just like, it's really turned me on to how important your hip health is.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the middle of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It makes your legs go.
Yeah, it's the link.
It basically helps keep your entire torso in alignment, straight. Right. It's the base, the foundation. I mean, it's doing a lot of work, and we do not do a whole lot for it.
Yeah, yeah, and then, you know, obviously we weren't jumping on this tangent, but, you know, sitting, them saying sitting's a new smoking. I mean, I think it might be a little drastic. I mean, I get what they're trying to go for, but it definitely can screw up your hip health. They could definitely limit your hip health. So, and I think it's tough, you know, especially kids nowadays have to sit in school chairs that are not
ergonomically. These days, they don't.
That's true. But yes, so I think, you know, instilling good hip health habits. Yeah. I'll say that three times fast.
Hip health habits.
Yes. Especially when kids are young, and that's what, you know, I'm glad I get to do that as a trainer right now. So, sorry, a little bit of a tangent, because we're not talking about hips. Well, maybe we are talking about hips. Maybe the hips measurements, hip measurements.
I'll take that connection.
Yeah, I'll take the segue. So, sure. But yeah, we're talking about a little bit focus on some diet and nutrition, specifically the anti-inflammatory diet. What is it, and what do you eat on it, and what don't you eat?
And if you are someone who follows sports athletes, you likely know there are many who are on anti-inflammatory diets.
Are you talking about Tom Brady?
I do know that he is one of the very famous that is on an anti-inflammatory diet. Yeah. Yes.
He's one that's frequently
referred to in fitness articles as being extremely an extreme advocate of this.
Tampa Bay's own Tom Brady?
Now Tampa Bay's own. Well, didn't used to be that way.
I don't remember.
Let's just say, okay?
I don't know if he's ever played for
any other
team.
It's a little team called the Patriots, okay? Yeah.
But, yes, so just quick kind of like background about inflammation. There are two types of inflammation that occurs within your body, because inflammation is not necessarily a bad thing. Inflammation is kind of our body's critical. Yeah, it's our body's response. It's kind of like a defense system, essentially. Mm-hmm. So if there's some sort of, it's an immune response to some sort of invader, an infection, basically we use acute inflammation to combat an infection. So we produce different types of like white blood cells or immune cells to basically fight a foreign invader in our bodies. So that's acute inflammation. But chronic inflammation is basically inflammation occurs over time inside of our body. So when this happens, things like diabetes can occur, heart disease, and fatty liver disease, and cancer.
Basically, think about, and this is like a very simplified version, but just breaking it down. When you get a cut or you get an injury in your body, one of the first signs that you will experience besides pain, shortly after the shock wears off, you will usually get a pretty good amount of inflammation, and that is acute inflammation, and that is your body's natural response, and it's a targeted, you know, very time critical response. It helps get things to where it needs to go, fight off the infection. It serves many important purposes. However, what we're talking about today is really referencing a bit more of the chronic inflammation. Uh-huh. Which is basically, if your body is in that reactive standpoint for lengthy periods of time, it does long-term damage. I mean, if you had to walk around with a swollen, you know, joint or something like that because you hurt it, imagine if that swelling just never went away. You would have a long-term injury like that. That's doing long-term damage. Your body is not supposed to sustain that. So the effects of inflammation are really one of the most relevant reasons we felt this was a conversation. Right. Because one of the huge impacts that inflammation causes is it negatively impacts your immune system.
Right. Yeah, and you know, sadly, they find that like chronic inflammation, like the things we just listed, it can cause, but you know, it can be a byproduct of obesity and/or stress, mm-hmm. And you know, as related to Shannon, like she said, the immune system and why that's so important right now is, you know, due to COVID-19, having a strong immune system is critical, and there's more and more evidence coming out about how, you know, obese individuals are basically more susceptible to serious conditions if they contract COVID-19. So we want to make sure we're trying to outline, you know, this type of nutrition approach that is, you know, a lot of people, as Shannon said, athletes have promoted and that it works. And, you know, I think to a certain extent we try to adhere to it too, because we understand how inflammatory foods can be essentially super detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of do's and don'ts with this, but I think once you hear it, you'll kind of be like, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's not totally, you know, just out of left field. It is very, there's some intuitive kind of things you would, when we talk about these issues, the do's and don'ts of the anti-inflammatory diet, you'll be like, okay, that makes sense. So they talked about some certain lifestyles or lifestyle factors that can promote inflammation is nutrition, all right? So items they talk about with diet items that can be more inflammatory could be foods high in sugar or high fructose corn syrup. This can lead to insulin resistance, diabetes, and obesity. Like we said, some of the issues that arise due to chronic inflammation. Some researchers find that refined carbs such as white bread can cause inflammation. Processed food, packaged foods, especially those containing trans fat, which I feel like trans fat has like really been, you know, bastardized, and I can't remember
been
the last
vilified.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can't remember the last thing I've seen that has trans fat besides maybe some junk food still has it out there, but I feel like trans fat free is one of the biggest labels out there nowadays.
Yeah.
Vegetable oils. It's interesting. This just came up with your parents recently, even though I'm sure your mom knew about it.
Oh, yeah.
But your father-in-law told me about it. He was like, yeah, I heard this person talk on a talk show recently about how bad vegetable oils can be. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we had somebody on the podcast recently talk about how, especially when you introduce heat, you know, basically cook with vegetable oils, how it can be essentially produce a bunch of free radicals that once again causes inflammation inside your body when you eat it. So things like corn oil or canola oil, which I think it's corn oil, but any types of seed oils, sunflower oil, yep, exactly right, that can really once it's introduced to heat, can basically produce a lot of bad stuff for your body once you consume it. So, of course, things that you probably imagine that can causes inflammation, excess intake of alcohol. I know that was something we touched on recently about how alcohol should not be consumed in large amounts. It does not. Not only does it cause inflammation in the body, but it doesn't prevent COVID-19.
It's not going to actually make you invincible.
Right. And of course, processed meats, which I agree with too, to a certain extent, like eating copious amounts of processed meats like sausages or pepperoni, things that are not really processed meats, sadly, is a lot of non-meat products passed off to be meat products, which is scary to say the least. But yeah, so those have definitely been found to be linked to inflammatory issues such as cancer. So those are some of the things that the don't list. Now there's they have a little bit more. We're looking at healthline.com, one of our favorites websites. And you know, obviously the diet, what effect your diet can have on basically fighting inflammation is, you know, introducing foods that have antioxidants.
Anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. Exactly. Anti-inflammatory, antioxidants, kind of like hand in hand, and a lot of fresh or whole nutrient-dense food have antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, when you think antioxidant, what food do you think of?
Blueberries.
Oh, that was what I was going to say. I swear to God. What was the one you got? It was like, not acai.
Acai.
There's something else I thought you got. It was like a little packet. It was a frozen we had.
Oh, yeah. That was the dragon fruit.
Dragon fruit. Okay, yeah.
The it starts with a P. Oh, I forgot the other name for it. But yeah, it was essentially dragon fruit.
All right.
And it's low on the glycemic index, very, very positive in its health benefits in antioxidants.
Yeah, that glycemic index is a good kind of indicator too. I'm pretty sure they mentioned that in here, because even certain fruits are high on the glycemic index, the tropical fruits.
Yeah.
So I mean, they can be inflammatory if eaten copious, large amounts. So.
Yeah. The tricky thing about an anti-inflammatory diet is that it's not just about whole foods. It's not just about eating fresh, vegetables. It's really down to how you eat them. And there are specific things that, because of just their chemical makeup, are apt to maybe not by itself, but when kind of added with lots of other things, can be inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to your point, some of those, which we'll touch on, they do make sense.
Right.
And you'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually can. I could get that. I could see that.
Right. So what should we do first? Foods to avoid or foods to
Let's try? Talk about the foods that you can and should focus
I think that's
on.
I think that's a good idea, too. So as Shannon just mentioned, these might be intuited to you and you might be like, yeah, no duh. But still, it's good to hear it. Okay. So from healthline.com, they said, foods to eat for your anti-inflammatory diet is vegetables, broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower. Cruciferous
you
vegetables.
Did.
Yeah.
Good job.
And it's interesting with cruciferous. Darn it. Could not get it the second time. Cruciferous vegetables is that you can eat them raw too, but some of them it's actually almost better if you steam them or something, introduce some heat to them, kind of break down a little bit of that I think it's necessarily the cell wall to unlock some of the nutrients, but also to get rid of some of the defensive basically substances they have. Like kale especially has, I think it's oxalic acid. And if you steam it, it actually kind of drains some of that out of the plant and lets it less likely to build up in your body. It's especially important for people that have kidney stones.
Yeah.
So they have to do stuff like that. They can't have oxalic acid.
Yeah, these are the kinds of vegetables that you would probably consider roughage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fiber. Fiber is a big part of the anti-inflammatory diet, I think. So just judging by this list. All right, so fruit they have, especially deeply colored berries like grapes and cherries or blueberries like you mentioned. So I've heard that before. Stone fruit is a category, which I think is like peaches and pears.
Peaches, cherries, nectarines, plums, mm-hmm. anything with like a pit.
A pit, yeah. Those are the stone fruits and berries, what I've really heard good for anti-inflammatory, probably low on the glycemic index.
Mm-hmm.
High fat fruits, avocados and olives. I know you're not a straight olive fan.
I'm not a huge fan of either of those, but you're right. I'm probably more apt to do avocado.
Yeah. But you do olive oil and guacamole, so hey.
I know.
That's a good compromise. Yeah. Healthy fats, olive oil, boom, we just said it, and coconut oil. So I think we're probably more of olive oil eaters and cookers here. We do some coconut oil.
I do a lot of coconut oil.
I mean, that actually, it's interesting because the non-dairy butter you use is mostly coconut oil. If you actually read it on the back, it's mostly coconut. Some sunflower oil, which, no, not the best, but fatty fish, salmon, sardines, herring, mackerel, and anchovies. So we're definitely in the salmon. I don't think any of those other ones you would touch with a 10-foot pole.
I'm not really into the small fishes. Small fishes mean high fishy flavor, which just kind of turned me off. But salmon, for sure.
And the thing is, though, I think if you got that stuff fresh, those smaller ones,
I'm sure if I got them
better.
Fresh out of the ocean.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, but I don't know if we can get them right out of the ocean, but yeah. I know. I get what you're saying. But yeah. No, I think because I have eaten canned. I've tried that canned sardines things. It's tough.
I know.
It's tough.
I've witnessed it.
Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy. Nuts, almonds and other nuts, which is I think is a great. That's like my go-to snack is nuts. Almonds, cashews, walnuts. I don't feel like walnuts don't get enough love.
I know, they're so awesome.
Pecans, I think pecans are awesome also. Yeah. So if you're especially trying to save some money, you know, because almonds can get up there, I think walnuts and pecans definitely.
Yes, if you want to save money, skip the cashews and the almonds.
Mm-hmm. So peppers, bell peppers and chili peppers, definitely red pepper fans. So I love that stuff. Chocolate, dark chocolate, they have on there, and they have a link to it for your dark chocolate, but I think we've talked enough about dark chocolate on this podcast that I think they're probably
the difference.
Usually over 70% cacao is probably the basis, you know, kind of like the baseline for you want to go over that. But anything under that, you're dealing with a little bit more too high sugar.
Yeah, too processed.
Spices, turmeric. I want to let you take, what is that word right there? Behind turmeric.
Fenugreek,
okay. Cinnamon, which we go through tons here in this house.
Yeah,
what is fenugreek?
I've seen it in recipes, and I've seen it in, it's mentioned in Ayurvedic recipes as well. I think it's definitely like a really savory spice.
Uh-huh.
This could be totally wrong. I want to say it's like almost like in the licorice kind of anise family.
Yeah, we're going to find what it is, guys, because, you know, we have the computer right here. Is an herb is similar to clover.
Oh, okay. I do love clove. Is that similar?
It says clover. Seeds smell and taste similar to maple syrup.
That sounds amazing.
Wow, you probably would love that.
I know. I need to get my hands on some of this stuff.
It's actually on Healthline right there. Well, interesting. All right. So learn something new every day. For under drinks, they have tea, green tea, red wine, up to 5 ounces, or red wine of red wine a day per... Oh, my gosh. I'm going to try this one more time. Up to 5 ounces of red wine per day for women and 10 ounces per day for men. Well, I guess we need to start... drinking more red wine.
AKA rosé doesn't count.
Yep. So I know that sadly I don't see any coffee on there, which makes me a little bit sad. But
let's be real honest. I don't think coffee has any of the properties that we would expect to appear on a anti-inflammatory.
I don't believe so. I think coffee does, especially black coffee, can have some anti-inflammatory benefits.
I feel like I've read the opposite.
I've read the opposite of that opposite. So we can debate
which
this.
Which study did you find?
Yeah, I think we've debated the coffee on here before, so I'd love to go after it before.
It depends which study you read.
Yes. All right, so let's go up to foods to avoid. We kind of touched on them earlier already, but it's kind of the things you guys have already thought of, you know. Junk food, obviously, right? The seed oils. Yeah, well, let's run down a list. Sorry, I didn't want me to just go off a tangent. But Healthline.com has sugary beverages, sugar, sweetened drinks, and fruit juices. Once again, fruit juices, guys. They're saying that, and I think people still hear that, and they don't understand, oh, I thought juice was good for you. Well,
it's from a plant.
Essentially, you're just squeezing the juice out of a fruit, when taking all the fiber away from it and just leaving the sugary liquid substance.
Yeah, and it's not even that. It's that fruit juices, like the ones that you buy in the stores, have tons of added sugar.
Yeah, yeah. And even the 100% juice ones have a lot of sugar unless you're drinking like cranberry juice or prune juice.
Yeah, because of the sugar specifically, just sugary beverages, no.
Right, yeah. So refined carbs, white bread, we mentioned earlier, white pasta.
Basically, which turn to sugar in your body.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're high on the glycemic index. So, desserts, cookies, candies, cake, ice cream.
Same thing.
Which makes me sad, but still. Yep. Processed meats, like I was talking about earlier, hot dogs, bologna, sausages, things that are essentially not pure meat.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, things that have it doesn't a lot come of from filler. Any direct yeah. animal.
Yeah. Like I said, you can mix... You can make quality products like sausage, but not. It's definitely it can kind of get bastardized in the grocery store. Okay, so processed snacks, foods, crackers, chips, and pretzels, junk food, duh, right? Certain oils, processed seed and vegetable oils like soybean and corn oil, so stuff unlike olive oil and coconut oil, which has a lot higher melting point or burning point. Trans fat, foods with partially hydrogenated ingredients, and alcohol, excessive alcohol consumption. So coffee, not on this list also. Just want to make sure. Just want to tell you that. So those are the lists for the Healthline.com anti-inflammatory diet, guys. I think, especially nowadays, people a little bit more landlocked at home. And maybe I think it's interesting, all the trends that are happening now. A lot more gardening, which is great. People are getting outside, getting their hands in the dirt, getting some back to work. A lot more baking, which I think is good too, because honestly, if you're going to... Bread, if you're making your own bread, especially I know you got a sourdough starter going, I think that can be way better than the refined carbs that are refined carbs bread that's out there in the grocery store, even though, you know, flour is refined. But either way, but still, you know, people are probably cooking more at home and eating more at home. So I think being able to find some of that, the things to way to amend your diet in order to feel a little bit, you know, not only to possibly prevent some of the issues we talked about earlier in this podcast that inflammation can cause, but also to make sure your immune system's always in tip-top shape. And you're fighting, you know, your COVID essentially by every day. Your everyday actions prevents the likelihood of you catching COVID or falling, you know, becoming sick from it. Mm-hmm. You got anything else for? You looking something up over there?
Nope. I mean, when you get more into this diet, like these are very top line kinds of do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. When you get much more into this diet, you can find out like there are certain like members of like the nightshade family are, you know, a little bit verboten they actually do cause inflammation. I know your boy Tom Brady
won't eat a tomato.
Oh my god, that one I just don't. I mean, I understand, but and then even some of the like this is what I can never say, the onion family.
Alliums. Yep.
So those have inflammation causing properties that, and I think it is like when you're extreme about this diet, when it gets down to like super nitty gritty, those technically speaking are items that would be on your avoid list. And I think it's certain ones.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know, and you're right. It probably is interesting. I mean, try certain ones of the allium because, like, even allium, if you like the allium family, especially like garlic, it has antifungal, antibacterial properties. Oh, yeah. If you smash it and let it sit on the cutting board for like 15 minutes and then cook with it, it can actually boost its production of, like I said, fungal and bacterial, even some places antiviral properties.
Yeah.
So it's
good. I made that really good for dinner then.
Yes. Oh yeah. That's why garlic, you just gotta load the garlic in.
Yeah. So. But there are a lot of my point is that there are a great deal more specific guidelines, and how far you take this. Some people with pre-existing conditions that use an anti-inflammatory diet, also a big sensitivity for some people who have like leaky gut or have celiac disease, will avoid wheat and gluten items because that is, in that case, that is mm-hmm. Perpetuates the cycle. So those are also things that just on this can be applied very broadly, but we know it can go very deep. So. Yeah. If this is something that's interesting to you, please do check out some information. There's loads of information. Remember that Tom Brady is a highly paid professional athlete, and you do not need to eat like him. He has personal trainers and cooks and people that do pretty much everything that he wants them to. So I don't think we really need to go and try to mimic what he's doing for health, but the man's got some serious willpower, that's for sure. I don't think I could cut out tomatoes from my diet forever, and I don't think I could do without some of those other items either. Like dairy is one of the items that they don't do for anti-inflammatory, like anything high fat dairy products. I just don't think either of us would do very well with that.
Nope.
I've done it before, and it was tough.
Yeah.
You start dreaming about cheese. It's just, you know, that you've taken a wrong turn somewhere.
All right. I think that was an informative, and we got back. Like I said, we haven't done a nutrition podcast in a while, so it felt good.
Good
to get back here and talk about some of the components of our diet that and how it can help us be safer at this time in all of our lives.
Yeah, and there are loads more information coming out about some other things that could help you boost your immunity and increase your overall health and well-being. And that's really what a lot of the studies keep coming back to, is that it comes down to, we'll go back to the football. It's all about having
the
best offense is a good defense.
There you go.
Yeah. So taking care of yourself and having your immune system really healthy, as healthy as you can be, that is going to be your best bet.
Absolutely.
So for the current virus pandemic situation, the flu, so many other things, and as we've talked about today, inflammation, which is something that you may not even see is happening in your body, if it goes on unchecked for long periods of time, it can wreak havoc on your entire body, and you may not even realize it. So taking those precautionary and proactive steps to address your health now are going to help you down the road.
There he is. That's a good,
that's all I got.
Good way to sum it all up. Right. So I'm not going to screw it up.
Okay.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Be safe.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.